On this week's edition of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, the Cougs are on their longest win streak in 16 years as they open up 2-0 in Big 12 play and improve to 14-1 on the year. Now it's a rivalry game on the Hill, and we're breaking it all down with the coach and Mihailo Boskovic coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
All right. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Yes, it's our first show since the holiday break. Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Great to be with you. We are inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building here in Provo, Utah for our weekly look inside the BYU men's basketball program. We are joined by a live studio audience you heard just a few seconds ago. We'll hear you again. And we can be seen and heard via ESPN Plus and the BYU TV app, along with the BYU radio app as well. Coming up on tonight's show, we will, among other things, catch up with the Cougs since our last show before the holidays, including consecutive wins to open Big 12 play. Deep Blue will profile freshman big man Xavion Staten. Mihailo Boskovic is our special guest inside Studio C. We'll have some audience Q&A with the coach and Mihailo, and look ahead to this weekend's game at Utah. And to tip off tonight's show, let's bring back into Studio C the coach who now has the best 50-game coaching record in BYU hoops history, and last night became the fastest coach to 40 wins at BYU. He is the head coach of your Cougar Hoopsters. Let's say hello to Kevin Young. We are back after the holiday break. And on that note, you had no games between December 22nd and January 3rd. I think a welcome holiday break and a very non-NBA-like schedule for you.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to it until our entire family got the flu.
There was that.
So that was a little unfortunate. But no, it was nice to get away from the game for a little bit and just kind of focus on family and Christmas time. It was good.
After a really challenging non-conference schedule, too, it was a good time for a break for everybody to kind of catch their breath before Big 12 play.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm big on just, like, mental breaks throughout the season. Obviously, in the college schedule, like you mentioned, it's a little bit more built in, baked into the schedule. So, balance is good. I think sometimes you can do too much, and it was nice for the guys to get away for a little while.
Back to holidays for a second. Did you get a favorite gift from Christmas this year?
I did. I actually just told the guys this story. So I asked them that. I said, hey, what gifts did you guys part in your little parties were great? There was some purses. Someone threw out a car. I was like, NIL's really changed things in Christmas. But I actually bought my boys a piece of equipment in our little workout area at the house. That's a weighted sled that you push. Sounds like I'm like a hardcore dad, but really it was selfish because I wanted to use it for my workouts. But that's been a family favorite so far.
It's getting a lot of use?
A lot of use.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, Big 12 play is underway for you guys. Your second season in the Big 12 as opposed to the first, how are you approaching this year maybe compared to last when you were new to the league?
Yeah, I think just having an understanding of what's coming in terms of the aggressiveness, the physicality. We saw it a little bit at Kansas State. With how much we had a lot of turnover because they were kind of – it was a lot of fouls that weren't getting called, and it is what it is. You got to be able to play through it. So I think that, and then just like I said, the more aggressive, whether it's pick-and-roll coverages, post coverages that these teams employ, trying to do a lot of work ahead of time to be ready to counteract that.
How about the depth of the Big 12 right now too? Nine teams in the net top 50 right now, six in the top 20. There are 10 power conference teams with one or zero losses, and four of those teams are in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, it's we talked about a lot at the Big 12 Media Day. I think, it's interesting when you get around the other coaches in panel forum type deals where people are asking questions, and just the amount of respect as you go down the line that each coach kind of talks about that they have for the league, how hard it is, how good the players are and the coaching and so forth. And so every night is tough. I mean, one thing for me that – some of my NBA people that we've brought here that we've said about college is every game really feels like game seven. It does in the regular season. That's why college basketball is so awesome. NBA. I was joking with Brendan Haywood, who did the call last night, former NBA Peacock player. Yeah, yeah, and he was, I'm like, there's no Tuesday night in Milwaukee in January that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where both teams are on a back-to-back or what. This is every night you're getting the best effort of both teams, both coaches, and it makes for some really outstanding basketball.
Well, you're 15 games in to a 31-game regular season, so you're almost at the halfway mark. Since we are kind of a halfway spot, what do you like most about your team through the halfway part of the season?
Yeah, the togetherness, you know. I think that can be – it's a lot harder than I think people think about when you talk about having a lot of talent on one team. It's making sure that everybody's playing together, the ball is moving. That's probably the biggest thing for me, but I like where we're trending. You know, I thought last night was a major step in the right direction, just with our approach, our attitude. This is a big week for us. You know, we had since I've been at BYU, I could count on one hand the times we haven't had a great practice. Like, our guys practice really hard. I mean, you come to a lot of them, and the intensity's there. Thought the other day it was not there. I called the group out on it. They responded extremely well. And so I'm just trying to get our guys to understand it. Every time you show up to something, you just, you know, bring it. Leave no doubt is kind of the phrase that we use. And I thought the way they approached the Arizona State game, you know, we've had some slow starts. That obviously was not one of them. So if we can kind of have that edge, that kind of swagger about us, you know, right from the jump and whatever it is we're doing, I think that's the start of that.
I think it's okay to say, too, that you talked to your guys. You alluded to your NBA history and some of the best players on the planet you've coached, and they all had common traits, and you kind of shared those traits with the guys about how those important are, even for a Monday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon practice.
For sure, and it's like, again, it's this idea of, like, when you're trying to be elite at what you do, you know, for me anyway, you want other people to worry about it. You know, it's like everything I know if I'm going up against that guy, he's bringing it, and a lot of our guys do have that, but it's just the consistency part of bringing it, you know, every time out. And you know, that's a learning process with some of the younger guys.
You had a 59-point second half last night. You talked about some things trending, and one of your trends this year has been your second half efficiency. And there was a great graphic nationally that talked about halftime adjustments and which teams really excel after halftime, and BYU's right there with the best. You rank first nationally in second half offensive rating and net efficiency rating. You're second in effective field goal percentage in the second half, and you're fifth in points scored after halftime. What is it about your team's ability, players and coaches, to synthesize what's happened and use that to improve things in the second 20?
Yeah, I mean, I think basketball IQ, you know, I think we have a smart group. And then being able, so like when we show them something at halftime, I think they're able to go out and make the necessary adjustments just within their own, you know, within the ecosystem of the actual players out there. I think that's probably a big thing. And, you know, it's really sparked a lot of ball movement. And I think that's where some of the, like, the effective field goal percentage kind of is a product of that. And, but again, going back to what I said before, it's like that's a great graphic, but let's not have it be such a big delta, right, that we're trying to claw back from. And that's obviously something we're trying to get better at.
Last couple of things before we get to some highlights. 11-game win streak right now for BYU. That's the longest win streak in 16 years, Coach. And there's been some good basketball played over those 16 years. It's tough to win that many games in a row at this level.
It is. I mean, you know, it's a testament to the guys, you know, their ability to understand the game plan and lock into it. It's a testament to all the coaches and all the support staff, everyone that goes kind of unnoticed behind the scenes. But, you know, like, but at the same time, you know, we're a good team, and good teams take care of business. And that's, you know, that's really another thing I'm trying to have our guys understand. It's like, when you have talent and you're a good team, good teams do what they're supposed to do. And you're supposed to go out and win. You're supposed to go out and execute the game plan. And so, and then the last part of that I would say is you can't get bored with it. You can't get bored with doing the simple things that contribute to winning. And sometimes that can be a, like last night in the second half of that, we got complacent, you know, and I think they scored like 10 straight times in a period of time there. And so we just got to
Once the game was in hand.
It was, but still, yeah. It's like, you know, my son said to me when I got, "Dad, you get more mad when you guys are up big." I'm like, it's frustrating because but that's my point though. Like, you expect greatness because you see it in front of you. You understand, you know, what our guys are capable of. And so when they're not playing up to that, it gets a little bit frustrating.
I want to hit one note before we get to the K-State highlights from the weekend, and that's what Yegor is doing right now in the NBA. He had a crazy overtime last night, scored all of the Nets' overtime points against Orlando. He already has the most games with five or more threes by any rookie in Nets history. The Nets are 9.2 points per 100 possessions better with Yegor on the court as opposed to off. What a first year he's having for those guys.
Yeah, and the thing I'm the most proud of is, it hasn't been easy for him. You know, we went to played at the Garden. You know, we went to a dinner after the game, and him and I spent a lot of time together. And you know, the NBA is such a long season, and there's so many ebbs and flows.
Those Tuesdays in Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And so for him, the start of it was a little rocky. Now that I think that they're figuring out, just some chemistry and how he fits into their group. And so to see what he did last night was awesome. I actually woke up, texted his he's got a group of agents, and texted with one of his guys. Shout out Alex in Russia if he's watching. Great guy. but it's just really, you feel like a proud parent because you see like the growth and the development. And the thing I love was just the confidence and the passion. You know, you see him yelling after he made, look kind of jacked actually doing
the
that.
Building going nuts for him, by the way.
Yeah, building going crazy. And so extremely happy for him.
Very cool. Great opener. All right. Since we last got together here in Studio C, BYU opened the Big 12 play, played Kansas State on the road and Arizona State at home. Let's check out now some highlights and stats presented by Intermountain Health. BYU looking for its first ever win in Manhattan this past Saturday. The only meeting of the season with the Wildcats. Sold out Bramlage Coliseum last Saturday. And one of the highlight makers that BYU put on the floor was going to have to be Kay Bakeda. He had a career-high 16 rebounds in Manhattan. 11 points as well on 4-of-4 shooting. Second double-double of the year. He has a team win-loss record, by the way, of 7-1 when he has a double-double. He had a two-block shot as well. Great day for Kayba.
Yeah, it was great. You know, he's so physically impressive when he's really playing with that motor. You know, his athleticism is off the charts, and 16 rebounds, and to get 8 of them on the offensive glass was huge. He's had a little up and down start with some injuries, with some like sickness and stuff. And so, looking forward to really seeing that consistently out of him.
A.J. DuBonsa had 24, 8, 3, and 3 points, rebounds, assists, and steals. Seventh consecutive game at that point with 20-plus points for A.J. He drew 7 fouls and went 7 for 10 from the free throw line.
Yeah, and didn't play his best game and still put up that stat line. I know he was upset with himself with 7 turnovers, but it was good, though, to his first time on the road in the Big 12, you understand what teams are going to do to him. They're going to try to show him a crowd, be physical with him. You know, me and him had a really good film session together after that game, showing him some spots we can maybe clean up that avoid some of those turnovers. And, I thought in the second half he was better. He's better at being aggressive and attacking.
Okay, Richie Saunders Saturday, 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, made multiple threes for a 5th consecutive game, which was a new career-long streak for him, made both of his free throws, including the ASU game last night. He's now made 13 straight free throws. He's shooting 85% from the stripe on the year. Coach, he's very near to that 50-40-90 territory right now, field goal, 3-point, and free throw.
Yeah, no, he's obviously a great shooter. And then, the thing that I love about him is obviously the 3-point shooting speaks for itself, but he's such an efficient 2-point shooter because he takes really good shots. And I think that's really hard to do when you're a guard, is to shoot, when you're around that 50% mark. It's super hard to do. But in this particular game, I thought, he really opened up the lead for us going into halftime. He got hot. And we found him in transition a bunch, even on a night where he necessarily didn't shoot the 3 the way he would have loved to. But I thought his shooting in that particular stretch of the game really kind of opened it up for us.
One of the great things about Richie is you close out on him at your own peril, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. He's the poster child of what we talk about, which is 0.5 basketball, make a decision in half a second. He's either shooting it or he's driving that thing at you.
Our guest tonight is Mihailo Boskovic, by the way. Great game for Mihai, I thought, Saturday in Manhattan. He played 17 and a half minutes, 9 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 2-for-3 from the 3-point line as well.
Yeah, huge game for him. Probably his best game of this season so far. I really trust him. He's a guy that has done it for us on the road before. His play in this game, I think defensively, was really important. You saw that block, but just You know, he gives us a different element because of his size. You know, you put him out there with Beto and AJ together, and all of a sudden you got a lot of length and a lot of size and a lot of high basketball IQ out there.
Let's get to Beto, the man they call Beto Abdullah Ahmed. He played his second game for you in the K-State game. 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 block shots, 2 of 3 from the field. By the way, he has at least 1 block shot in every game he's played for BYU. And in fact, in his first 2 Big 12 games, he's sitting at 8 blocks already.
Yeah, no, he's played with the edge. You know, he has a competitive spirit around the, you know, I think he takes great pride in not letting people score around him. I think he's starting to get his wind under him a little bit more and more. I think the more comfortable he gets, the more impressive he's going to be. And I will say in that game, too, it was really the first game where we, like, started playing through him in that trail spot in transition and giving him the ball and letting him kind of be a facilitator. That gives us a whole different element that we really haven't gone to much this year yet, but we will moving forward.
Let's get to Saturday's assist count presented by Siegfried and Jensen, assisting Utah families for over 35 years. And BYU had 17 assists on 28 makes.
Yeah, I mean, that's who we want to be. You know, that part is the challenge when you have a you know, some guys who are really good one-on-one players. How do you merge guys' ability to be really good one-on-one but still have a culture of sharing the basketball? And that's something that we've talked about from day one. I feel like that's an area that of late in particular that we've really started to be much better at. I thought last year that was really the calling card of that team. Mm-hmm. This team's obviously constructed differently, but you know, that's back-breaking type stuff when you're able to move the ball like that and share it.
Let's put up our final stat sheet from Saturday in Manhattan. K-State, a very three-point reliant team. They went 3 for 21 from the arc. That was a decisive number, I thought.
It was. I thought our guys' attention to detail was really good. You know, it's tough because we were trying to slow Haggerty down, and then you're also trying to guard the three-point line. But, you know, that was really the key. We didn't think they could make enough twos to beat us, and so to hold them to – you know, that low of a number on makes was impressive.
All right, that put BYU at 1-0 in the Big 12, leading us into last night's Big 12 home opener with Arizona State, the only meeting of the season between BYU and ASU. The Cougs were playing for a 7th consecutive Marriott Center win over the Sun Devils and a 5th consecutive win over ASU overall. BYU also seeking to extend a 10-game home court win streak. Let's get to it. BYU and ASU, we're going to throw the defense in general up on the screen because it was outstanding, I thought. ASU shot 38% field, 28% arc. They were held under 1 point per possession. Just a really solid defensive game for your guys.
Yeah, I thought, especially in the first half, really the first probably 30 minutes of the game, honestly. You know, our defense was really, really good. Our activity was outstanding. I think our coaches have done a great job of helping, you know, just build some of our technique with ball tracing and activity but also not at the expense of being reckless. Like you see that metric there, 11 steals and 10 blocks. You
NBA know, calls it the stock number. They combine steals and blocks, 21, not bad.
That's a big number. But again, I think it's how can you do that but not be reckless and still be compact and together? And that's a hard thing to do, and our guys are starting to figure it out a little bit.
All right, individuals now. Richie Saunders, career night for Richie. He loves playing ASU. 31 points as he goes 10 for 13 from the field, 6 for 8 from deep. He adds 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals in 3 games against ASU last year and this year. 29 points a game, 60% from the arc, and 63% shooting overall. And he's currently top 45 nationally in true shooting percentage. What a player.
Yeah, I mean, his eyes do seem to light up against ASU, but he was locked in. You know, he was a guy that I think took to heart, like, the message, which in terms of this leaving no doubt type of mindset, you know, he was super locked in to start. I thought he helped the group get off to a good mental start. And then, you know, the ball was moving. I thought that was probably one of our best games with spacing. I think we we're somewhere in the ballpark of close to like 13 corner threes, which usually is a sign that our spacing is good and our ball movement's really good. And that was one of our more complete offensive performances.
He wasn't the only guy with a career high in scoring, by the way, Richie, as Rob Wright III went for 27 last night. He was 3 of 6 from deep, 4 assists, just 1 turnover, and one of his assists was just an all-timer, right? 40% from the arc, by the way. He's 40. Here's that pass. Unbelievable stuff. That was a highlight of the night. My goodness. He shot 40% or better from the arc in 11 consecutive games. Like, everyone has a down. He just doesn't have a down game from the arc. It's really amazing. He's such a good shooter.
Yeah, I mean, the shooting's been impressive because he, you know, early in, like, training camp, he wasn't shooting the ball well. I think he made just a real subtle adjustment to be a little bit more mentally locked in on some of his really simple, like, cues when he's shooting the ball. It's paid dividends. But the thing I love is, you know, his ability to put pressure on the defense and then understand whether that means he should go score it himself or he should find somebody else. And I think that's been a growth for him. That's something we've talked a lot about. And he's just really coachable, and I think it says a lot about his maturity.
Yeah, so I underscore his three-point shooting, and then we see a lot of him getting downhill. Yeah. He's one of the best downhill guys in the country.
He is, you know, and he's so quick and strong and powerful. I mean, he's really a nightmare to keep out of the paint. And so, again, if he can keep making the right decisions, that's the key for him.
Okay, AJ now, 23-7, 5-2, points, rebounds, assists, and steals. Eighth consecutive game now with 20 or more. That's the eighth longest streak all time at BYU. Third most games with 20 or more for any BYU freshman, and he's shooting 58% from the field on the year.
Yeah, I mean, again, for someone that takes the types of shots he does, I mean, it just speaks to his talent. Like, let's not get it twisted. It speaks to his talent. The guy is so unbelievably talented, but here's a, again, he can do a lot of things. You see the line there with the rebounds, the assists, the steals. You know, he's really bought into how we want to play. You know, we try to put him in positions to let that talent shine through. But similar to Rob, I think he does a good job of understanding that he has to also make the right decision. And I think, you know, the assist numbers speak to that as well. But, I mean, he's a hard guy to stop one-on-one, and guys have to make decisions how they want to guard him.
How about the fact the top two scorers in the country are freshmen? Boozer from Duke and AJ from BYU, almost the exact same number on 23 a game.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, this class, you know, I usually saw it from the other side of the NBA world. And now, you know, coming into it, now I've seen all these guys as high school players, and now you're seeing what they're doing at the college level. This is a special class for sure. But and the thing I'll say, like, Boozer's a phenomenal player, and this is no knock on him or any other freshman in the country. But I think what needs to be a little bit more out there, and I'll be the first to say it, is what AJ is doing. He's doing it next to two other first-team All-League players. I don't know that Duke has that. I don't think Kansas has that in Darren Peterson's teammates. And so what AJ is doing it alongside of other guys, it's not just a one-man band. I mean, I think that needs to get talked about a little bit more.
Great point. Let's throw up our final stat sheet from BYU and ASU. As the Cougs win at 104-76, so they win going away, a 28-point win in the game that BYU led by 38. And, Coach, it's BYU's first ever 2-0 start in Big 12 play.
Yeah, no, we took care of business on the road, which was something great to get us started, and then to come home and not have a letdown and just think, oh, you're going to win because you're just at home. I mean, that was something I was worried about. But, you know, our guys were locked in. You know, they responded, like I said, to a midweek challenge, and I really appreciated their approach to this game and helped us get an important win.
Let's get right to the January schedule now, see how it's shaping up here. Eight games on the Big 12 slate in January, two already in the books, the win at K-State, the win home to ASU. At Utah on Saturday, we'll talk more about the Utes game here later in the program. A home game before a run of three ranked games in four opponents with Texas Tech, Utah, Arizona, and Kansas all lurking. And we've seen enough Big 12 basketball already to know this is going to be a grinder from 1 through 18.
It is. You know, it's exciting. But at the same time, I mean, you got to really go game by game. You start with Utah. I mean, it's I think – someone was telling me today, I think we're 1-4 up there in the last five.
2-5 in the last seven.
Okay, so yeah. It's like, you know, with all due respect to them, we were better than they were last year. You know, we go up there and we left one on the table that we should have won. And so we got to go up there locked in. You know, we won, obviously. It's a big night for Richie, big night for Kaba. You know, I was talking to AJ about that. I'm going to grab Rob as well and let him understand, like, how big of a moment and game that is for those guys and try to – send those guys in their last chance up there with the win, and it'll be it's just different. You know, rivalry games are different. I experienced it firsthand last year, and I hope there's a lot of blue in the stadium up there, which I heard rumors that there's going to be a lot.
Yes, so. I'm hoping we have overcome the hurdles, I think, to get some people in the building. Yeah. I'll look for that as well. All right, time for our first break after a jam-packed first segment. And this is a reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Jordan and Spencer Linton weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, we'll go deep blue with Xavion State as BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us. Thank you.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. Ken Garf, we hear you. And Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful.
I just sit here smiling watching those highlights. That's a great team. Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Deep Blue is presented by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. And tonight, we have for you another story of resilience through adversity. From early medical issues to jeering remarks and self-doubt, Xavion Staton has endured much in his 18 years of life. But loving parents who have also endured have instilled faith and created a strong familial bond. Here now, Deep Blue with Xavion Staton.
First grade, as a kid, starting to, lack of better terms, balding. At first, I was honestly like a little scared of it because I was like, hey, this isn't happening to my friends. What is this?
When we originally got his diagnosis of alopecia, we did pursue the hair regrowth treatment. So I would do like Rogaine on his head, and he was getting scalp injections, like actual shots in his head.
It'd probably be every week to 2 weeks where we would do a bunch of injections at a time.
That was the hardest thing, that to watch him go through that portion of it. And all we wanted to do is fix the problem. And as his dad, I couldn't fix anything. All I could do is, hey, doctors, let's see what you guys can do.
It got to a point where it was hurting more than doing good. I wasn't even growing back, so it was a hope rather than a solution.
So we just kind of sat him down one day and we're like, hey, you know, what do you want to do? We'll keep going, we'll keep getting the shots, or we can just like shave it off and you'll be bald. And he's like, let's shave it off. Like, just shave it off. Like, that was crazy.
That boy, he glowed. Didn't care too much about anybody talking about him, anything like that. And I knew that it didn't matter what room he was in, whatever he was doing, he was always smiling.
First time I saw X roll through the door, both me and my coaching staff were like, all right, we have a 6'8 kid rolling through the door. We have something to work with here. Then he tried to pick up a basketball, and we were like, ah, well. Any coach will tell you, you can't coach height. So we're good at developing, and we put him in situations, and he fell in love with the sport, and that was all that it took. And then he was gone from there.
He's always done everything wholeheartedly, so I wasn't shocked that he played his best or like was good at it. I was more shocked when he started like becoming ranked, because that's not my world. I don't understand it.
Being seen so fast with not as much experience in the basketball side of things. I've witnessed him at a basketball game. He had to pretty much throw his headphones on to get away from all of the noise where everyone's calling him overrated and hearing so many hurtful things, cancer kid, all kinds of just off the wall, nasty stuff. I saw him for the first time hang his head a little bit. Am I doing this right? Am I supposed to be here? Am I overrated? Starting to feed into all of the stuff that he was hearing. And then also Team USA was another factor.
He had been to multiple Team USA mini camps, which are held twice a year, but the team tryouts are a completely separate thing. And that was the first time that he had been invited to do that.
It's almost like a showcase, but you're trying to compete to gain a spot on a team.
There's like 35 guys and they keep maybe 15. So to be invited to try out for the team was like huge, but he didn't get picked.
I mean, even going into it, because of the overrated comments, all that stuff that stuck with him, it was him not knowing who he was going to be. All he's hearing is what everybody else is painting him as or seeing him as.
I got back to my room and I called my mom. I was like, Mom, this is horrible. I caught her crying. I was frustrated. It was one of those things, it hurt.
I just told him I'm proud of him. That's what I always say. I'm so proud of you. And like, you worked so hard to even be in these rooms in the first place. And if you gave it your best, that's what we have tattooed, your best will always be good enough for me. So that's in his handwriting and he has it in mind. Cause as long as you're doing your best, at least I am perfectly fine with it. Who cares about everybody else?
This is gonna be life, and if you want what you're going for, just go for it. Everyone's gonna tell you you're not good enough until they tell you you're the best.
I think the turning point was after that call. The main thing that pushed me through was my parents. They've put a lot of time, effort into basketball, money. And that was one of the things I just couldn't let it see go to waste. Not that they wouldn't care at all, but I care. And so that's one of the things where I feel like it would have been easier to just quit or do something, but I feel like having them be able to push me and be able to let me keep doing what I'm doing now, I feel like that was just the biggest motivator.
Zavion is definitely a product of his parents' sacrifice. His mom had him at 16.
I left my home, I dropped out of high school. Like, our options were so limited that it sounds like really cliche, but we had an option to either just do it or not. And we just decided we're gonna do it.
It was kind of terrifying, obviously, jumping into the parenthood, thinking that you were grown and, you know, ready to make all the decisions in the world and just run with it.
Yeah, it's crazy, it's insane, but, you know, we're 20 years in and 5 kids later. It had to be equal, though, and I'll never act like I did it by myself, because if I would not have had my husband, there's just no way it could have even happened. It wasn't feasible.
His family is part of the reason, one of the big reasons I wanted him to come to BYU.
You don't see that type of love, that type of commitment to one another, that type of support for one another.
These are the kind of people that we want to partner with. And oh, by the way, Zavion's 6'11", 7 foot, unbelievable rim protector, great fit in our offensive system as well.
I don't know that I've seen a family closer than them. And they're all about each other, and they're all about teaching each other the right things. Zavion's a great example to his siblings. He's always trying to get them to do the right things. And honestly, it's beautiful to see. His parents have done such an amazing job.
I always told him that God gave me him as a repayment for everything that I had to go through, every bad day that I've ever had. He's my gift. He didn't have to be so kind or so nice or so happy or so gentle. He could have been 5'5", you know what I mean? Like, he's just killing it in all areas, but I feel like he is the payoff for every bad day I've ever had in life. Like, none of it wasn't worth it. It could never not be worth it.
God just pretty much, you know, it's almost like he's highlighting or putting him on his pedestal to show, hey, this is an example of a person that did not have it all. He has things going against him, but still prevailed through every single thing that he has gone through.
They've been my support system. They continue to be my support system. They just see the best in me, even when I don't see it in myself. And so I'm just grateful for all of it.
Well, X lights up a room when he walks in, especially a young man in a special family, obviously.
Yeah, no, this comment I'm going to make probably says all you need to know about Xavier. I won't say which person, but a high-ranking official at this university said to me, I just love Xavier. I mean, he could be president of the United States. And I was like, well said. You know, he just like that kind of guy, you know. And he's just got a great spirit about him. His mom and I hit it off on the recruitment. His dad's a great guy. The little girls, I mean, we had them actually over at the house. His little sisters are the same age as my daughter. I still tell Zoe she's the reason we got Xavier to come. She had all three of them down. They were playing the whole time. It was super fun.
Well, so good to have him with the program. Our special guest this week on this show is playing some of his best basketball as a BYU Cougar in his second season playing for BYU. He's an outstanding player, great teammate, and a lot of fun to talk to as well. Please welcome back into Studio C from Serbia, Mihajlo Boškević. All right, welcome back. You've done this before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for coming back. Year two of BYU compared to year one. How are you doing the second time around?
I think it's just a lot easier. Obviously, you know, coaches and a couple of players stay the same, so it feels a lot familiar, but also, you know, having a lot of teammates that, you know, kind of same trades, but also different, you know, compared to last year. It's fun. It's been fun.
How nice is it to have a second year coaching this guy? Because much like X, there's always a smile on this guy's face. I love that about him. How much fun is it to coach Mihai?
Yeah, no, Mihai is great because he never has a bad day. He always brings the same energy. I think, you know, all of his teammates respect and like that about him. But then also on a basketball front, like I said in the onset, you know, wasn't surprised at all. He had a great game at Kansas State. You know, he's a guy that's been through I go back to that shot he hit at West Virginia on the road last year. You know, like, he's been through the battles for us. He's made some big plays for us. And, you know, I have a lot of trust in his basketball IQ out there.
All of your shooting numbers are up over last year. Minutes are up over last year. What did you want to do in year two at BYU that you think you're already doing?
Honestly, I don't know. I didn't really think about it. Well, obviously, you know, going to Sweet 16 at year one of my playing, but also coaching, I feel like, you know, we did a great job and only getting better in second year. I think that what I kind of hope to accomplish and hope we will accomplish is, you know, going to the Final Four tournament and conference tournament finals, because we were so close last year. But yeah, playing wise, yeah, I feel like I worked at my three-point shot, you know, just to be more consistent in it. Because I feel like last year, you know, I was inconsistent a lot of times. And just, you know, improve my physicality, defensive stuff, you know, which I feel like, you know, I've been doing a good job at this point. So, yeah, there's a couple of things.
Okay. I went through some of the photos from last night's Arizona State game, and there was a great shot of you blocking Andrija Gribovic, a fellow Serb. Did you know there was another Serbian coming into town last night?
Montenegrin.
They had him as Serbia in his bio.
Yeah,
so.
No, we were all kind of looking at each other the same, you know. So, yeah, he's a Serbian, Montenegrin, whatever.
A Gribovic and a Boskovic last night.
Yeah.
National team. Do you hope to be a national team player at the senior level?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, that would be my, like, number one goal. I think that's, like, the reason why I started playing basketball, watching our national team. You know, we had a lot of success when I was younger, and, like, recently also Olympic Games and World Cup, you know, coming in short both times, close to USA and Germany. You know, we could have won the gold medal both times, but, you know, just a great basketball nation. I have a lot of pride in that, and knowing where I came from, and I feel like that's like the end goal for me, you know, being there and battling, you know, USA in the finals, maybe.
That would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
This season's already, you know, Coach mentioned your big shot at West Virginia. This season's already had great highlights. The game at Madison Square Garden, the game winner over Clemson, is really a cool thing because, Coach, you turned to Mihailo to trigger, you know, one of the biggest plays of the year right here. Rob, you know, gets credit, deservedly so, for the shot, but he got the pass from somebody, and you asked Mihailo to be that somebody.
Yeah, and I mean,
there goes Mihai.
But, you know, we work on that stuff in practice, and, you know, Mihailo's the guy, like I said, you know, I trust him. He's got a really high basketball IQ. We work on those moments in practice. He knew, if you actually go back even further in that, and as soon as I called the timeout, the first person I pointed at was Mihai, and I ushered him into the game, and he knew exactly why I was putting him in the game. And, you know, he made a great delivery, and obviously that was a huge moment for our team.
That was a huge moment for the team, for Mihailo. There was another great moment featuring Mihailo that got a lot of attention this year, and you didn't even make the play, but you reacted to the play. A.J. DiBonsa has the one-hand put-back dunk for the ages against Abilene Christian, and the still shot of your reaction is epic. It was kind of like everybody in that moment. That was all of us. You're his teammate, and you're doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I think, like you said, that was everybody's reaction. Oh, so good.
Oh, I love that. Which brings me to the question: how much fun are you having as a teammate with these guys this year?
No, so much fun, man. It's just I think it just starts at practice. You know, we're competing a little less right now because we got games, you know, every other day. But throughout the first part of the season, it was so fun, you know, just going at it every practice. Felt like some days felt like games, honestly, just like because there's so much talent in there. And you know, just you want to win every time as a competitor. It's been so fun, you know. And also, you know, being able to be with such talented group of guys, you know, obviously headlined by AJ, Rob, and Richie, you know, amazing, like, talented freshman, great, like, fast, twitchy sophomore, and Richie being a lights-out shooter, you know, it's just fun every day at practice, and obviously games, you know, being able to win games because of our collective quality, I would say, yeah.
We're visiting with Mihailo Boskovic here in Studio C. Coming up next, some fun and games with Coach and Mihai when BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stick with us. BYU basketball with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Well, we heard that you enjoyed watching Star Wars growing up. Is that accurate? Okay. So tonight, we are going to play with Mihailo Boskovic a little game we are calling Bosco's Forces on the Floor. Forces on the Floor. We do what we can with this. All right, here we go. We're gonna be assigning characters in the Star Wars universe to your teammates. So we're gonna describe a Star Wars character, and you're gonna tell us who best matches that Star Wars character from your team, if that makes sense. For example, we might say we're gonna use Han Solo. Han Solo, fast trigger, can hit from anywhere, makes a shot when you need it most, kind of a clutch performer. Who's the Han Solo?
I think on Richie Saunders.
Richie Saunders is Han Solo. Why do you like Richie for Han?
Well, quick trigger. That was the first one.
That first clue. Yeah. Richie does have a pretty smooth shot, doesn't he?
I got the same haircut, too.
Yeah, I was going to say. Looks like Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Han never sported the headband. But all right, number two. This is going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, I'm used to the old Sir Alec Guinness version of Obi-Wan Kenobi, but this is the Clone Wars animated edition. Mm. So, Obi-Wan Kenobi, we're going to call him an experienced veteran who's calm under pressure. Who's the Obi-Wan on this team?
I would say calm under pressure, that's Kaba, honestly.
Kaba?
Yeah.
The wise veteran, Kaba Kata.
Yeah, he's a veteran, so yeah.
Okay, so Kaba Kata equals Obi-Wan Kenobi. Oh, there we go. We'll do this side by side. Clearly, there's a direct correlation. Number three, we're gonna go with Luke Skywalker on this one. We're gonna describe Luke as disciplined, shows rapid growth. Who might be the Luke Skywalker on the team?
I'd say AJ maybe. Yeah, AJ. Because Luke's younger than Anakin, right?
Yes, and AJ being a young guy, we're gonna
go
with AJ as Luke Skywalker.
Like,
and he is kind of a Skywalker. We've seen that. He's got that part down.
He definitely has the rapid growth.
Smart guy figures things out.
Sharp curve. All right, very good. That's Luke Skywalker. Yoda. Yoda's an interesting one. Now, you're gonna have to be taller than Yoda to excel at basketball. He's very agile. He does have hops. We've seen that. He can get up there. He can bounce out of the gym, actually. So who is the hops? Who is the Yoda?
I got to say Rob, honestly. He got hops. You saw it yesterday. He almost dunked on a guy.
All right. So we're going to go with Rob Wright III for Yoda. Very nice. This one, Darth Maul. Darth's kind of a latecomer to the Star Wars universe. Darth Maul. Two-way player, we're going to call him. Causes havoc on defense, let's say. Who's the Darth Maul on this BYU team?
I'd say Hadeem.
Hadeem.
Yeah.
Hadeem Boop for Darth Maul. We'll go with
there
that.
There we go.
You have your answers always really, really ready. You know what you're looking for here. Number six, Anakin. We're looking at Anakin Skywalker. They're saying he has elite ball skills, and he's quick and aggressive. Anakin Skywalker with elite ball skills, quick and aggressive. He is quick and aggressive. Who would most match Anakin Skywalker?
I could have said AJ on that too.
And you can go multiple dudes on this too if you want to.
Yeah. Well, I'll say Who'd you say?
You got elite ball skills. Quick, I gotta go.
Rob.
That's also Rob.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rob gets his second hit on this one. We're gonna go with Rob Wright the third for Anakin Skywalker. This next one, I have no idea. Boba Fett. Boba Fett. We're calling him a quiet. He's very quiet. Lockdown defender. Mm-hmm. Quiet lockdown defender. Who might qualify that?
Lockdown defender. Well, it's. No, I gotta hand it over. He's got.
Maybe Moo. What do you think?
Yeah, you gotta go Moo.
Yeah, Moo. Yeah.
Okay.
Quiet for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I missed that. So yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, Moo. Moo.
We're gonna go. Okay. Yeah. Go. So Kennard Davis Jr. Moo gets the Boba Fett pick. Then we go to fan favorite. There we go. Nice job, Moo. Chewbacca. Chewbacca. We're gonna call him the team protector. The screen setter and selfless.
That's X.
X, okay. Xavion Staten gets the Chewbacca node. Yeah. Team protector, screen setter, and selfless. Chewbacca, you're going to go with X. I like that. Number nine, Lando Calrissian. Lando Calrissian. Smooth, nonchalant, but clutch when it matters most. Who's the Lando on this team?
I honestly have no idea right now.
I got a vote. I gotta go.
Coach's vote.
Dawson Baker.
Oh,
Dawson.
Yeah,
Baker.
Yeah.
He's smooth. He's got the Southern California nonchalant,
laid back vibe. Okay, good.
But he's clutch. Yeah. He's also clutch.
Okay, so DB gets the Lando Calrissian nod, and that leaves us to an open-ended question here at the end. Who matches you, Mihailo? What character would you say most embodies you, or vice versa?
I would say, honestly, I was gonna say Lando Calrissian. He was my favorite one. I don't know. I'm not that smooth. So. Yeah, nonchalant maybe, but.
Okay, no one picks Darth Vader for anything. Is the important thing on this?
Well, yeah, Darth Vader. She's like, you know, aura farming. You know, he's so. I don't know who I picked for that one.
Okay, well, you did a nice job playing along. Let's give a hand for Mihailo Boskovic with Boskovic forces on the floor. After this break, we'll have some audience Q&A. Stay with us as BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues. We're back in a minute. Thanks, Fred.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. Ken Garf, we hear you. And Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful.
Q&A for the coach and Mihailo, presented by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. We have time for three quick questions. Fire away.
Mihailo, what has been the biggest change from Serbia to BYU?
It's just, there hasn't been like one biggest change. It's just the culture is like kind of a little different than Serbia in America generally. And, you know, just missing my family and friends, I feel like that's the biggest change. The time difference, yeah.
Oh, that too. Question two, go ahead.
Mihailo, what do you miss most about home?
Food. And friends and family.
Food, friends and family, the three Fs.
Yeah.
All right, our last question, young man.
Hi, my name is Lucas. So recently I've noticed how, like, on the team there's been a lot of different, like AJ getting a contract with Nike and Moo rocking the Ja Morants. I just got my desperate questions just got to be, who has the biggest style on the team?
on court or off court?
Off court.
Off court? I'd say Rob, honestly. Yeah.
Rob Wright the third?
Yeah, probably.
The most style. Thank you, guys. Good questions. As we go to break, here's tonight's And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus, providing Jansan food service and packaging supplies. Plus support, Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. There's your question. We're looking for the freshman record holder and the overall record holder for most 20-point games in a single season. The answer next. Stay with us. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Kevin Young. Just the closing segment of the show here. There's your question. The answer here is Danny Ainge for freshman and Jimmer Fredette overall. AJ's sitting at 10 and counting right now. Hey, guys, good luck Saturday at Utah. Great show tonight. Folks, thanks for being here. We'll do it again next week. Go Cougs!